couple of years ago, well, one of my little cousins, we just established that Marina teaches music to my little cousins, which is a really cool thing. We're just establishing that this morning. First of all, well, before we go any further, thank Marina for being here this morning, just for subbing in, filling in for Marilyn. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. But a couple of years ago, one of my little cousins, Marina, got this Christmas gift. And Kelsey knows where I'm going already. It was this backseat driver Sesame Street playset. And not like a backseat driver in that it tried to tell you your directions as you're driving around the car, but rather a little thing that you hook onto the back of the seat in front of you so that the kids could drive around, right? And it had all these different sections. I think Grover was the guy you used to put the car into gear. And Cookie Monster was your turn signal, right? And I think Oscar the Grouch was probably your horn that you beep as people are driving by. But the most obtrusive of all of the characters on this playset was Elmo. And Elmo was at the wheel, which if you're asking me is just asking for trouble, right? And with Elmo at the wheel, the kids could take the wheel and turn it in different directions to get Elmo to say things. And most prominently, what Elmo said when you turned it left was, "This way!" And when you turned it right, Elmo said, "The other way!" And if you did this about 4 times in succession, Elmo would say, "This way! The other way! This way! The other way!" And if you did it one more time, "Where are you going?" I think Elmo's voice still haunts me all these years later as we reach this text on this Sunday morning. His little irritating voice peaks in the back of my head as he offers the question that I would have thought would come so naturally to these first disciples. You see, as Mark recounts Jesus' entrance into Galilee, he offers this scene of Jesus calling his first friends to himself. As he moves along the coastline of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus here encounters 2 pairs of brothers that share a common profession. Meeting these fishermen in the middle of their work, Jesus calls out to them, beginning with Simon and Andrew, who are actively casting their nets into the ocean. Jesus makes the simple and now to us familiar call to follow me. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fish for people. Now, I like to imagine that Simon and Andrew must have at least shared some sort of puzzled look with one another. Maybe they looked at each other, looked at the nets in their hands, and then looked back up at Jesus quizzically over this invitation. I mean, for these 2 down-to-earth characters, the invitation would have seemed just a little bit odd. And I would hope that they would have had a few questions. Where would the best waters be for fishing for people? How was this going to work? Were they going to need bigger nets than what they had? And if this invitation really is to just follow me, then where are we going? But according to Mark, these are the questions that are left totally unanswered. As the gospel writer tells it, there was apparently little to no hesitation from Simon or Andrew. Immediately, Mark says, they left their nets and they followed him. No game plan, no interview, no nothing. They just leave their things behind and they start to follow. It's a bold move. After all, consider what these nets must have meant to them. These weren't just their basic tools. These were the source of their livelihood. These nets were all that they knew. As fishermen, these nets were what maintained all that they were. That's no thing to simply and unquestioningly walk away from. Heeding Jesus' call to follow me inherently involved a great deal of uncertainty for them as they left behind their source of stability and safety. And what's more is that the weight of this call is compounded when Jesus later meets John and James. Apparently, continuing down the coastline, he meets these brothers, these sons of Zebedee. And there, the 2 brothers are tending to the tools of their trade. As they go about the work of repairing their nets, Jesus approaches and immediately calls them to come follow him. And just as with Simon and Andrew, James and John heed the call and set out with the strolling Messiah. Yet they are not without their own cost as well. Just as Simon and Andrew left their livelihoods to follow Jesus, so too do James and John leave behind all that they know. For them, though, this includes the addition of their own family. As Mark tells his readers, they not only leave their boats and their nets, but they leave behind their father with the hired hands as well. It's a steep cost that comes with this invitation to follow me. To give up everything that these guys know, to give up all of their systems of stability and support, it's daunting to consider the task. I mean, did they realize what they were getting themselves into when they heard this call? Did they stop to consider just what it was they would be leaving behind? You know, did Simon and Andrew worry about the ways in which they would provide for themselves going forward? Did James and John worry about how their father Zebedee was going to manage in their absence? Did any of them stop to think just what this new identity as fishers of people would look like? And were any of them the least bit curious about where are we going? It's a lot that we would think they would want to consider with such a simple two-word invitation. Yet perhaps that's exactly what makes their response so extraordinary and so faithful. See, in their present moment, in the moment of Jesus' invitation, in that instant when the very presence of the eternal God came and met them immediately, the response of these first disciples is to meet this one and set out with him into whatever lies ahead. As Jesus cries out that the kingdom of God has already arrived, these fishermen, these perfectly ordinary folk, they come to meet this new reality even as they leave behind any number of possibilities or worries. And it all starts with such a simple call as follow me. Like those disciples, like those early fishermen, this call is shockingly given to each of us as well. You know, as crazy as it may seem, it holds true that just as Jesus first called ordinary workers along the coast, so does Jesus call ordinary people like you and like me to follow and to bear witness to extraordinary things. But like Simon and Andrew and James and John, we may recognize that there are things to leave behind in order to follow Jesus' call. We may worry about all the realms of possibilities, about all of the possible ramifications and what they might mean. Or, like Paul, as he expresses to the Corinthians this morning, we may worry about other things that need to get done as this world seems to pass on and press on around us. Our concern for a world passing away and beyond who we are and who we understand may infect our minds. I mean, it's a lot to consider. It's a daunting amount of things to have to worry about. Which is precisely why Jesus' invitation to follow me stands out in the way that it does. See, the kingdom of God has already come, he says. And it's come for you. Follow me, he calls, and I will show you the way there. See, when the disciples did follow, what they saw was almost indescribable. They saw this Jesus, this guy walking along the coastline. They saw him heal, and they saw him feed, and they saw him bring God's love to those they never thought possible. But more than that, these disciples followed him all the way to the cross, where they saw once and for all time the extent of God's kingdom. And it was there, at the cross, that they witnessed the moment where every moment, every anxiety, every realm of possibility, all of eternity was wrapped into a single moment of unity in Jesus himself. And in the end, they saw it all put to death, but given new life as well. So don't you see? Jesus' invitation to follow him is never meant to be a burden. It was never meant as one more thing to do on a long list of tasks we ought to get done. His invitation is offered as a relief for you and for me. Following Jesus means following this one, the one who stepped out of all eternity. It means following the one who has been with us and goes ahead of us in all things. It means following the one who stepped out of a promised future to offer you new life in God, right here and right now. See, God has already arrived for you. The promised kingdom arrives whether we follow along or not. This invitation isn't extended to earn you prerequisites, but rather to give you meaning and grace for the journey itself. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me, we'll do this together. Amen.